In this episode of the Creepy Kingdom Cinema Crypt, we give you our spoiler-free review of 2019's Dumbo. Greetings and hello and welcome to the Creepy Kingdom Cinema Crypt Podcast, Creepy Kingdom's podcast, all about the spookiness and creepiness of cinema. I am your host, Mr. James H. Carter, II. Coming up in this episode, we continue our Year of Burton celebration by giving you a spoiler-free review of the brand new Tim Burton film, a live-action adaptation of the Disney classic animated film Dumbo. It hits theaters the weekend of the release of this episode, so we're just in time to join in all the awesome, fun Dumbo festivities. But before we get started, I do have to mention that the Year of Burton celebration continues on into April. April's Tim Burton film we'll be honoring is Mars Attacks. And starting in April, we will be doing monthly screenings in South Pasadena, California. The Creepy Kingdom crew will be getting together, and you can come on down and watch these Tim Burton classic films with us. April 6th, at the Sugar Mint Gallery in South Pasadena, California, we're screening Mars Attacks. This gallery is right outside of the house that Michael Myers lived in the original Halloween film. And on top of all of that, Sugar Mint Gallery will be in the middle of their I Want to Believe exhibit, a whole bunch of art inspired by alien and UFO pop culture, movies, films, all that kind of fun stuff. And while you're there, you could enter to win a one-of-a-kind custom Mars Attacks purse. That's April 6th, Sugar Mint Gallery, South Pasadena, California. You can find more information going to sugarmintgallery.com. And if you go to Creepy Kingdom's Facebook page, you can find the event page for all the info right there. All right, without any further ado, let's open the crypt. Okay, I'm here with Shannon McGrew, the founder and owner and whatever other title you are of the website Nightmarish Conjurings.
I'm a magician as well.
A magician.
Thank you for having me.
This is your first time on the Creepy Kingdom Cinema Crypt podcast.
Ooh.
Usually are on the Stay Haunted podcast.
I am.
Talking about haunts. But you're a special guest, so thanks for coming on the show.
No problem.
And we are here, you're here particularly because you and I went to go see the 2019 version of Dumbo.
Live-action adaptation.
Live-action adaptation directed by Tim Burton. And this will conclude March's Tim Burton movie of the month.
Woo!
Because we're having a Year of Burton.
Oh, I would have never known that.
Why wouldn't you have known that?
It's not like I live with you.
I'm not telling you. I'm telling the listeners.
Oh, sorry, listeners.
Yeah, other people are listening to this. I'm not just talking
to you right now.
This is a podcast.
Podcast.
Yeah. Anywho, so our usual round, Peanut Gallery is not on this show because you and I attended the press screening and the rest of the gang haven't seen the film yet.
Correct.
It is on the eve of its release as we're recording this.
Yep. Some of you may even be seeing it tonight.
Yeah, we have our own Petite Ghostess at the opening fan event.
Yes.
At the El Capitan Theater, the Disney-owned theater in Hollywood. And that's where we saw it on Monday.
We did. We did.
Yes, we did. So, we're going to talk about it here. It's interesting because usually, for something like this, it's like, is this a spoiler-free review? Are there really spoilers in a remake of a Disney live-action film?
I did hear that they're different, though.
They're different. They're definitely different, but... I mean, what's a spoiler, right?
It has the same themes.
So, but I think if you're tuning into this, you probably want to know. Either you've seen it already, and you just want to hear what we think. But if you haven't seen it, you probably want to know: is this film for me? And I think that's kind of the angle of what we're going to talk about here. Just tell you about some things that are happening there. So, light spoilery. You're not going into it cold, I guess.
No.
But Creepy Kingdom has done an episode on Dumbo, and I imagine most people have seen Dumbo. I kind of grew up loving Dumbo, and who doesn't? It's one of those stories that, like, even before you see it, you know what's going to happen. An elephant flies, so you're waiting for to see how it happens, you know?
Yeah, I'm kind of on the other end of the spectrum. I'm not a huge Dumbo fan.
I didn't say I was a huge Dumbo fan. I was just saying that.
No, yeah. I mean, everybody loves the flying Dumbo. I was kind of like blasé about it. You know, it's been a really long time since I've seen the original. Eventually I'd like to revisit it.
Well, I haven't rewatched it recently, but I have watched it probably when we did that Creepy Kingdom episode of it early in the show's history back in 2014.
Yeah.
So it's not like I didn't watch it yesterday, but I've watched it more recently in my childhood than probably you have.
Oh yeah.
And it's not a very long movie. I feel like it's just maybe a little over 60 minutes.
Oh, okay.
It was made during this infamous animators strike that happened at the Disney company. So the people that were working on it were there was limited workforce I get to say.
Yeah.
Amongst other things, and the history of and actually the making of Dumbo can be seen in another Disney film called just blanked
it's
on
not
the name.
Sleeping with
No, why am I blanking on the name of this movie? The Dragon movie. What?
Oh, shoot.
We did a review of that, and The Reluctant Dragon, there we go. The Reluctant Dragon is essentially showing the Walt Disney Studios while they were making Dumbo. That's a whole other ball of wax there, but... when watching Dumbo again as an adult, you're like, oh, it's the same thing,
super problematic.
Well, before you get to, you've noticed the problematic aspects of it for sure. Not going to take a deep dive on that on this episode, except to say that that's something you're kind of wondering, and just to skim over it, there's things in the film that some would perceive as racist. I'm not going to debate whether someone thinks it is or isn't, but
there's just some problematic scenes. We can just say that.
And there's also drinking, getting drunk, and having hallucinations. And, the pink elephants on parade fever dream that Dumbo has.
Yep.
There's Timothy Mouse. He's not problematic, but I was just saying he's a classic talking animal.
Needless to say, there's just some issues.
Not with Timothy Mouse, but
not with him.
No, but I'm just saying, there's issues in the film, but it was interesting to see how they carry out. And essentially, Dumbo is Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer tale, where it's like he's different and weird from everybody else, so he gets mocked. But then as soon as like he could do something for somebody else, everyone's like super stoked and excited about him. You know, and I mean that theme carries on for sure into the.
I was just gonna say that
for sure. But you know, when they first announced this film, and I believe we even did a podcast about the announcement of the film, that Tim Burton was going to be doing the live action film. You know, it was kind of like, it's not the first pick that I would think of that for him to do. I mean, obviously you already did Alice in Wonderland, but I wouldn't think, you know, if I was going to go, Tim Burton's going to do an animated Disney classic live action purely based on artistic merit, not popularity, I would go like Black Cauldron.
Yeah, I mean, it was an interesting choice to do Dumbo, which is, it's not like a sensitive movie, but it's like,
it's sad, you know.
It's sad, and it's just like, you know, it's not a beat.
Well, that's not necessarily true. There's just sad parts of it. We're talking about the original. There's sad parts of it, but most of it is pretty upbeat, you know. But the overall theme throughout the film, it's all kind of a bummer.
Yeah, I mean, the themes of bullying and being accepted, yeah.
But there's definitely upbeat scenes in it, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, I was like, we'll see how this goes. And I didn't want, like, a spookified version of Dumbo, you know.
I would be okay with that.
I don't know, it's just kind of weird. I didn't want it, you know. I don't know if I'd be okay with it or not, but I'm just like, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if I really wanted a live-action Dumbo to begin with, but... But we're like, all right, let's see what's going on. Clearly, I'm a Tim Burton fan, and a lot of people have been not happy with some of his more recent work, and I've thought it's been great. I think... particularly the name of the movie I can never pronounce, Miss Peregrine's Home.
Oh, Miss Peregrine's Home for Peculiar Children.
Peculiar Children, yeah. I thought it was an awesome movie. I still love it, and I still advocate for it. I mean, it kind of got thrown to the wayside.
Well, we all have our guilty pleasures.
It's not even a guilty pleasure. I think it's a good movie, is what I'm saying. It's not a guilty pleasure.
We all have our opinions.
I really enjoyed it. I thought it was a good movie. Anyways.
Well, it seems like Ava Green's his new muse anyways.
Yeah, well, we're leaning towards that. That's for sure.
Rest in peace, Helena Bonham Carter, from the relationship that you were in.
Yeah, she's still alive.
No, I know, but rest in peace from that relationship, because you're not the muse anymore. It's Ava Green.
Yeah, before that, it was Lisa Marie.
Who we'll
see popping in and out the rest of the year, Burton, for sure, in some major roles. But but as we get to the film itself here, the 2019 film, one thing I will say that, you know, it takes place in 1920 or 1919. So
it's early 20th century.
So it's a period piece, which I guess the original is. I don't know, but you know, maybe not. I don't know. But it's a period piece, and obviously it's about a circus. So the presentation of that, especially a rundown kind of sideshow, freak show culture,
yeah,
like right away the aesthetic of the film is great. It's not like super overly dark and creepy, which wouldn't fit. It doesn't make sense. It's like it just kind of celebrates the, like, the Coney Island freak show kind of,
yeah, it's colorful, like, but like it's colorful but kind of run down colorful. But yeah, the production design for the movie was fantastic.
Yeah. And you know, for the original circus, you know, and then what, you know, spoiler, this is not a really spoiler, but where the film goes is where the original does not.
It's Dreamland.
You know, that the original circus that Dumbo's a part of gets bought out by a bigger kind of theme park amusement thing. And there we visually kind of get blown away with this 1920s
steampunk
looking theme park called Dreamland, and which has some incredible, I mean, and there is when things get spooky, you know, in certain scenes as well. So that's
Long Live Nightmare Island.
Yeah, there's a certain area called Nightmare Island, which it's not a haunt, but it's a place where they have animals like bears and tigers and big
it's
crazy
like,
elephants.
You know,
but they have kind of like costumes on to make them appear as even more like monsters.
It's supposed to like, you know, the animals that humans fear the most and then glorified to look like these killing machines.
Yeah, it looks like these monsters. Like,
yeah.
Like not animal, like be more than animal.
Yeah.
And so it's, and again, I don't even know if that's something that was a thing, but I've never seen it like that in films before.
No, and if that was a haunt, that would be awesome.
Yeah. It was, so that was the one part of the movie where I was like, oh, there's Tim Burton doing his thing, and it fits. And it's not forced. It definitely,
yeah.
And it, and that area of the park plays an important role in the film, and it works.
Yeah, absolutely. And even just, you know, the film as itself, it has some creepy elements and some, you know, unsettling and not disturbing, but like unsettling imagery. And some of it's realistic and some of it's, you know, fantasy.
Yeah.
You know, coming from a horror person, you know, horror can be emotional stuff too.
Yeah.
And I think adding that in, at least for me, really brought home the themes of the film, of acceptance and bullying and being judged by appearances and, like you said earlier, like, oh, you know, this elephant's weird because it has big floppy ears, but as soon as they realize that it can fly, then, you know.
And make everybody money.
And make everybody money. Yeah. It's now the greatest thing to ever existed.
Right.
Which just in and of itself, a flying elephant is pretty much the greatest thing to have ever existed or ever to exist.
Didn't exist. It's fictional.
No, I know. You know what I mean.
Yeah, yeah.
It's been a long day.
Well, maybe he does exist. I don't know. But anyways, yeah. So we were talking production design. That itself is a highlight of the film. Another aspect that is super high quality is the costumes.
Yes.
And the whole.
Especially
wardrobe.
Ava Green's.
Yeah, she had a lot of pretty amazing costumes and a lot of different outfits that she wore as well. And I mean, we might as well just get the Ava Green appreciation stuff out of the way. we have some friends or colleagues and some people that are on your team that actually interviewed her.
Yes.
Sarah from Nightmares Conjuring interviewed her, and our friend Sabina, and Sabina's on, has been on a few of Creepy Kingdom podcasts, interviewed Ava for Dumbo. And Sabina was telling us that while she was interviewing her, she was doing the acrobatics from the movie, and that 90% of the stunts were done by her.
Oh, wow.
She is... Oh, that's news to you?
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Yeah, she is in the film. She's...
like an aerialist.
The lady on the flying trapeze.
Yeah.
And before Sabina told me that, I pretty much was like thinking like, you know, that most of that stuff is green screen and...
right.
like that. But apparently she trained to do aerial work for the film.
Huh.
So she trained.
That's rad.
She trained to do that. She, you know, she is amazing. I mean, she didn't design her costumes, but, you know, she has amazing costumes.
The theme of the costumes have to do with feathers. You'll see why.
Yeah. And she's from France. So she's got a French accent the entire film.
Yep.
Actually, well, I feel like we could talk about the cast too, because I actually thought the cast was like super high quality. Maybe even too much for this film.
Michael Keaton is phenomenal.
Michael Keaton comes in as a villain, which yes. I'm loving that he's made this transition in his career to play villains. I think he's great in Spider-Man Homecoming.
And as Beetlejuice.
Is Beetlejuice a villain?
Anti-hero villain?
Yeah, maybe.
Pro-villain?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. If he's really a villain or not. But whatever. But it seems like, you know, Michael Keaton doesn't have to do anything, right? I mean, he could.
Yeah.
He could have stopped acting. And I feel like he did for a while. I don't, you know. Like,
yeah.
But he's... you know, he's back strong for sure.
Colin Farrell's fantastic.
I gotta say something about Colin Farrell. He was good, and I wanted to say this to you during the movie, but I don't like talking during movies right. in theaters. He sounded like Rick Grimes from Walking Dead the entire.
Well, now I'm just never gonna get that out of my head. So great.
Like so he. And-
They're both from England. No, they're not both. From
no,
the
no,
same
no,
place.
No, but no. Well, not the actor. That plays Rick. I'm saying he had that's
yeah.
that I'm a good old boy,
Western country boy,
Southern,
or that.
That's a different part of the country. No. So Western good old boy.
Again, it's been a long day.
South, the South and the West are totally not the same part of the country, but they all say y'all. Anyways, No, but he was good. Danny DeVito was actually excellent.
Yeah.
It's funny because I'm kind of pre-positioned to think Danny DeVito has, you know, just at this point in his career, it's just his character and It's Always Sunny. Because he doesn't do too much outside of that. Mm-hmm. But he kind of showed, you know, that he's not that character.
Yeah.
Because obviously he's got a rich history of film, you know, leading up to this, but it was just kind of like, you don't really see him in stuff.
Right.
And you know, he's worked with Tim Burton in the past. And this is another case of Tim Burton, obviously pulling Michael Keaton out, but also
Batman versus Penguin.
It was like, you know, he played Penguin and, he was also, a circus guy in Big Fish.
Oh yeah.
So I feel like he asked Danny, you know, like Danny DeVito's not really in doing stuff besides It's Always Sunny.
Yeah.
So that he asked him to kind of come in and play this role.
Yeah. No.
Which he was great. He his character definitely has an arc. You know, and goes on a, you know, at first I thought it was kind of going to be a one-dimensional character, but
no,
it actually
on a
had a little bit of of depth to it.
Yeah. No, I thought everybody was fantastic.
I thought the kids were whatever. I mean,
oh, I like the kids.
I don't know. I mean, they're okay, but, you know, the kids were unknowns as opposed to the well-known cast.
Yeah.
You know.
But everyone has to get their start somehow.
Well, of course not, but they could have had kids that were.
Yeah.
Maybe that were well-known or been other stuff. Or I'm sure, I don't know. I'm sure they're great people and had a great career. But I'm just saying, like, you know, it's hard to stand up to that, like, kind of an all-star cast like that.
Yeah.
You know, like the kids from this one and Mary Poppins are kind of interchangeable, right? I mean,
yeah,
you know, like none of that's bad. I'm just kind of like, they don't really stand out to me like as characters.
Yeah.
It's really about what the adults are doing in these films. And the same with the Winnie the Pooh movie. What was that called? Christopher Robin.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of the same thing with that as well. It wasn't about what the kids were doing. It was about what, you know,
the adults.
Yeah. Maybe that's just because we're not kids and I'm just not connecting with kids in Disney movies. I don't know. But, whatever. Yeah, so I think you're in for some really quality acting. Now, as far as, you know, if you're the straight-up Dumbo fans thinking, like, what am I going to see here? You know, they incorporated songs from the original Dumbo.
There's
in
two.
A great way.
One, I mean, you're going to have the Pink Elephant Parade.
Which I thought was brought into this film in a very awesome way.
Yes, that was one of my favorite scenes.
And there, you know, there's a nice version of the Baby of Mine.
Yep, I think they said that there is just the two songs. I think the other ones are originals.
Is there other songs in this new movie? I don't even remember.
I don't know, but I think Arcade Fire did a Dumbo song.
That probably was a credit song.
Yeah, maybe. But
when I think Dumbo, I think Arcade Fire.
Yeah, and I think people will fall in love with Dumbo.
Oh yeah, Dumbo as a character himself. It's obviously very adorable, very cute, very expressive in a way that a real elephant would not be. But,
right. But you're going to feel for him and you're going to think he's adorable.
All the other animals kind of feel realistic besides that. Even Dumbo's mom.
Yeah.
But Dumbo still has that, like, and I don't have a problem with that choice. You know, it was a choice that could be made. They could have made Dumbo not make cute facial expressions.
Right.
You know, and just look like a bored, comatose elephant the way elephants look. But it was a choice. It could have been toned down a little bit for me, but that's just my personal taste. But I think it needs to be that way to connect with the younger audience.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so there was that aspect of it. Let's see, what else is there? I mean, at the end of the day, you know, the problematic things that we were talking about are non-existent. You know, they're not there. And I think that I'm starting to have a different opinion about these films. Now, let me backtrack and say, this whole trend that Disney's doing of making live-action adaptations of their animated films, you know, if you haven't heard me on another show express his opinion, I'll say, the idea of these films is not interesting to me. It's not an interesting idea to do this. That being said, I've thought almost every live action adaptation they've done has been a good movie, and I've enjoyed it. They've delivered.
Yeah.
You know. So with this one, now my opinion is kind of changing a little bit, because a lot of these films that are iconic Disney films are starting to not be good sign of the times. Now, they're incredible animations, and, you know, they're always going to be there. They're not taking them out of circulation. You know, they're not Song of the Southing them.
Yeah.
They're still available to enjoy very, very easily, and especially with the upcoming Disney streaming service, Disney Plus, I think it's called, supposedly supposed to have every single Disney film available on the streaming site. So with all of these older things that are a sign of their times, that are not reflecting our society today, it's kind of tough to want to show your children them.
Yeah.
You know, and so that being said, now you could take, now I could show my child, and we don't have children, but I'm just saying, now I could show my child Dumbo and not worry about the racist crows.
Right.
in the movie, and that's just a personal choice. I'm not going to get too into the PC debate, because I think it's up to the parents to decide what their children can handle. And that's, you know, that's on an individual basis. It shouldn't be just blanketed out of, like, we're going to get rid of everything that might be offensive or anything like that. Because, and arguably, there's things in this movie that some parents might not want their kids to see because they're super sad.
Yeah.
And the stuff on Nightmare Island might be too scary.
Yep.
You know, so it's not like this movie is neutered, but it's an appropriate way to tell the Dumbo story in 2019.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's interesting. But these old films, are, you know, for us that like them and want to watch them again for their artistry, that's fine. You know, I think, and another thing I think about too is that these movies, for the most part, seem to be like just sure bet cash cows.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, and so if that's the way that Disney is going to, the money flowing so that they might make a movie that's a little bit weird and out of the box, which they put out a few this year that were not financially successful, some of the more hit the mark didn't hit the mark critically, but I still applaud them for making weird random movies.
Yeah.
And, you know, Wrinkle in Time, Nutcracker in the Four Realms, you know, like, you know, I'm sure they want every movie they put out there to be a super mega hit and the biggest thing ever. But I'm just saying Disney hires credible filmmakers and crafts people to make these films. And some of them, you know, if they have to, like, make a film they know is going to be a smash hit, like, where I'm sure, you know, Lion King and Aladdin is going to be, you know,
yeah,
then that's fine. And the byproduct is these films are actually turning out okay. You know, like, I'm not hating on them.
And they're good for both adults and children.
Yeah, because it's like, oh, this is a film that I grew up watching, but now this is, I think the kids today are going to take, you know, ownership over that. But, and more importantly, you know, I brought up two movies that I'm not super stoked on, but you get a Ralph Breaks the Internet, you know, which is, you know, I think they obviously thought that was going to be a bigger hit than it was, but, you know, it's kind of a niche, weird movie, you know, which I love, you know, I thought it was great. So, we'll see. I do think it's interesting that Disney is releasing three live action animation adaptations within like 4 months.
Crazy.
That seems a little excessive. We have, you know, next one, we got Aladdin in May and Lion King in July.
Yep.
You know, but I think when it comes to Disney having a surefire hit and making money right in the middle of all that, Avengers Endgame is coming out. I think that's a...
Yeah, I think they'll be fine.
I think that's a sure bet. So, in conclusion, it's not the most Tim Burton-y movie of all time, but you could see his touch in it, especially on some of those darker areas. But, you know, so as a Tim Burton fan, it's definitely worth checking out. You're going to see a little remnants of some things, maybe a little Big Fish. You know, yeah.
I'd give it 4 out of 5 stars.
Yeah, it was engaging the entire time. I thought it was a pretty quality movie, and there's elements of it that I look forward to watching again. I would agree. I'd give it 4 out of 5 as well. So, you know, again, this is the spoiler-free version of it, because I think there's a lot more to dig into about what happens when they get to Dreamland that could be disgusting.
Oh, yeah.
And analyzed. So.
Here's hoping we get a Dreamland at some point.
Yeah, right.
The
one thing I was thinking when I was watching this movie was we're never going to get like a Dumbo like dark ride.
No.
Because it's never, the Dumbo attraction is always going to be the, you know, the spinning.
Yeah.
You know, the spinning spinner or whatever.
Yeah.
But if they were to make it a dark ride based on things that happened in this film, that would be pretty exciting.
Yeah.
But it's a pipe dream. But so kudos to the production design. That's really what we're talking about here, because
yep.
It is a wonderful thing. So, you know, if you're a Burton completist, you know, check it out. If you're a Dumbo fan, I'm sure you're already there. But that's a little bit of our 2 cents, and maybe sometime in the future, after the film comes out, there'll be a spoiler-free look at this film. But that's going to conclude our little chat. You want to give your plug for Nightmarish Conjuring?
Sure, thank you for having me again.
You're welcome.
You can find me on, you can find the site Nightmarish Conjurings at www.nightmarishconjurings.com. We're on Twitter at Nightmarish with a 1 where the I is an ish. And on Instagram at Nightmarish Conjurings.
All right. And what is Nightmarish Conjurings? You never said what it was.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just assumed everybody knew. We review all things horror-related genre films and a little bit of Disney films.
Just a little bit. All right. Well, I've seen just about everything.
All right.
Then I saw an elephant fly.
Dreams come true.
If you want to contact us here at Creepy Kingdom, you can do so by emailing us, creepykingdom@gmail.com. And for everything Creepy Kingdom, show notes, links, videos, articles, our store with our clothing, everything Creepy Kingdom, your one-stop shop is, of course, creepykingdom.com. And if you would like to support what we do here and get exclusive Creepy Kingdom content, then check out our Patreon. That's patreon.com/creepykingdom. Well, you will find our documentary about Haunted Mansion fans exclusively online in our Patreon. That's right, Foolish Mortals is in there, as well as our Patreon uncensored exclusive podcast live from the dungeon. It's all waiting for you at patreon.com/creepykingdom. All right, until next time, let's close the crypt.